Here's a sour note for the music industry. In the last 3 years, sales are down 20%. Some analysts say it's this sales slump that has led to a wave of mergers among major music labels. Plenty of skeptics question whether consolidation will save these struggling companies when consumers often still download music for free. Day-to-day music critic Christian Bortle looks at smaller independent labels and finds that when it comes to getting people to pay for songs, size really doesn't matter.
Okay, let's start with the lay of the land. According to the Recording Industry Association of America, 1999 was a high watermark during which the music industry pressed and shipped 1,160,000,000 units. Every year since 1999, however, sales of pre-recorded music have declined by about 7 to 10%. In 2002, labels shipped about 860 million units. That's a 26% drop in just 3 years. Small wonder record labels are freaking out.
You keep staring into your liquor, wondering what to do.
But it turns out that not all labels are suffering the same fate. A number of independents, that's companies that aren't affiliated with or owned by one of the five major labels, have actually been enjoying banner years.
I think Rounder really, over the last 33 years, has stuck to their commitment to quality artists and quality music.
Paul Foley is the general manager of Rounder Records, which almost doubled its annual sales to 3.5 million units between 2000 and 2002.
I'm convinced that today, if you make the consumers aware that you have good music available, they're willing to buy it. With artists like Alison Krauss and Bruce Coburn and Cowboy Junkies of the last few years, we've added to our roster and continue to develop new artists, and it's been working.
I'm gonna pull you in close, gonna wrap you up tight.
Matador Records is a smaller but well-regarded indie that put out Liz Phair's seminal Exile in Guyville, and it's home to bands like Interpol and the John Spencer Blues Explosion. Matador has just come off one of its best years ever, and co-president Gerard Cosloy says it's because of the success.
Primarily the success of the most recent Interpol record, which has been, you know, a pretty hot one for us, but we also had a number of our bands who had been, I guess, between albums for a number of years all come out with pretty big records.
Cosloy says that these independent labels are selling to a much smaller niche audience than major labels.
But it's an audience that's much more inclined to read about music, to listen to music on public radio or college radio stations. It's the sort of audience that's much more inclined to actually spend money for music.
As opposed to downloading it for free. Right, we're back to the bugaboo of file sharing. I wonder if indie labels are as concerned about file sharing as the majors.
Like, think of all these kids, like, especially where we're from, like rural Kansas, rural Nebraska, rural Iowa. There isn't a cool record store in every town.
Connor Oberst and his band Bright Eyes are on the smallest of the independent labels I spoke with, called Saddle Creek, based in Omaha, Nebraska.
The only way you're going to learn about music for a lot of these kids is to go onto the computer, and that, to me, is like beautiful and awesome and like should be applauded by the record companies. Like, wow, people are actually seeking out music.
Matador's Cosloy also sees the marketing value of file sharing, at least for these smaller labels.
In an era where we can't get our records played on commercial radio because it's just too darn expensive and it's too consultant controlled, in an era where we have to pay vast sums of money to get our records racked properly at chain record stores, the one good thing I can say about file sharing is it affords us a chance to get our music heard without the label incurring crazy marketing expenses.
In the past, the most successful indie artists sooner or later graduated to a major label in order to access a larger audience. And while that's still the norm, there has also been a number of artists bucking that trend in the last few years. Connor Oberst, for example, he's been offered lucrative major label contracts, but he's decided to stay with his friends in Omaha.
No one in any of our bands wants to sacrifice a whole lot of control over what we're doing for a whole bunch of money when we're already sort of achieved a really huge dream of ours, like growing up, which was just to play music for a living. You don't really need $1 million, you know, if you're doing everything you want.
That kind of artistic integrity may contribute to the fact that some indie labels are continuing to see good sales while corporate dross sits on the shelves. But while some of these independent labels and artists see a silver lining, it should be made clear that everyone is in one way or another being hurt by the current downturn in music sales. Retailers have been hurt. Record stores across the country have been shuttered. and those stores that are still open have reduced their inventory, which means they're no longer stocking many of the releases put out by these independent labels, and that in turn makes it harder for us consumers to discover new music. We end up back online again trying to find the songs we want, legally or illegally. In Los Angeles, this is Christian Bordahl for Day to Day.
You're listening to Day to Day from NPR News.